Hey, welcome to the new CNADHD podcast. I'm your host, Liz Lewis, and I don't want to produce another boring podcast. I want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of living the ADHD life.
And yeah, I definitely want to have a cocktail while I do it. Hello, hello. This is Liz. Today, I want to talk about, it's actually, I think, kind of a sensitive subject. As it turns out, I have been thinking a lot lately about my relationship with social media, and in particular with Facebook. I started out on Facebook probably, well, I mean, as a user, I started out, in 2008, before I got married. And I didn't start using it for business, obviously, until I started my website in 2015. Now, I just want to say, before I go into this whole thing, I use Facebook. I'm not saying we shouldn't ever use Facebook. I'm just going to say that I have some reasons for believing that Facebook is the worst thing for ADHD. And I do use it. I use it to communicate with friends and family. And technically, I still host two Facebook groups on there. I have a private group, which I'm slowly moving off and onto my private membership site. And then I have a public Facebook group called A Dose of Healthy Distraction, ADHD. And there's about 1,700 people in there. And I do have a business page called A Dose of Healthy Distraction. So I am a Facebook user. after some, I don't even want to say deep research. I'm going to say cursory research that's available to anyone. I've determined that in terms of everyday functionality, getting things done, Facebook is like the worst thing for ADHD. So I've been writing about executive function. I have many articles about this. I've been writing about this for years. And at this point, I've produced my own curriculum and program around managing emotions with ADHD. And I know it's really, really important for those of us with ADHD to find our tribe, to find supportive social interaction and social support. And on the surface, I do think that's what Facebook was designed for. And it does look like it should make our life better. I mean, that's I think, was the intended purpose. In the beginning, from what I can tell, Facebook was designed to bring people together. The space was there and it was free for anyone to use. You could create your own private groups, which is what we started to do. And now there are millions of them. And Facebook does allow people who otherwise would never meet to meet, to connect, and to build relationships. Although one might argue that the relationships are semi-surfacey type relationships. Unfortunately, because the platform is now, you know, host to gazillions and gazillions and gazillions of people, it's become a little bit of a massive, overstimulating vortex. And I actually think it's doing the opposite of its original intent, which kind of sucks for them and for us. So this is the deal. We have self-regulation issues because we have ADHD. And when we have self-regulation issues, it's really easy for us to go looking for stimulation, to go looking for connection to other humans. And I'm just going to break this down into a couple big issues that I think affect everybody, but I think hit the ADHD population particularly hard. The first is that on Facebook, every issue becomes polarized, and there is a reason for this. Have you ever noticed that article? There's this article that floats around Facebook periodically, and it's about the original neurologist who coined the ADHD phraseology. And I think it's on, the link I have is Collective Evolution. And basically it's this guy who said, oh, I'm the godfather of ADHD and it's actually fake. And this floats around Facebook several times a year. And the reason it creates such a fervor every time is because our brains, the human brain loves clickbait. Our eyes see it. We love sensational headlines. We love the emotion it evokes in us. Even when it's angry, we still click on it. And that's what I mean when I say on Facebook, everything becomes polarized, even the issue of ADHD, which really shouldn't be, and I won't even go into all that. But there's this guy, his name is Roger McNamee, I think, and he wrote an article for Time Magazine. As it turns out, he is an investor, a stockholder in Facebook, and he had worked with Sheryl Sandberg, and he worked with Zuckerberg, and he was a mentor to Zuckerberg for years. And he admits in this Time article that he still holds stock in Facebook. And he says, one of the best ways to manipulate attention is to appeal to outrage and fear. So sensational headlines and graphics and all that stuff that we love so much about Facebook, it's all there by design, right? And it pulls us in. And we with ADHD already can't regulate our attention. We're already, you know, avoiding or procrastinating. And this does not work for us. It just gets us all hyped up and increases our all that amygdala activity that we struggle with already. I've actually seen Facebook threads that got shut down because it just got so ugly. And everything, like I said, becomes polarized. And it's just, I don't think it's good for anybody, but it's really not good for us. Because when we see one of these crazy headlines, our brain just reacts and we click and we get sucked in. The second big problem I have with Facebook is that it's based entirely on paid advertisements. A lot of the stuff that you see on Facebook is actually advertising. Facebook's entire business model is to sell advertising. That's what their business model depends on. That's why the platform is free. So stuff is being put in front of you when you were on Facebook to deliberately keep you on Facebook. Sometimes it's kind of creepy. And I think what bothers me about the advertising actually isn't so much that I can tell I'm being monitored. It does bother me when I buy a necklace from Kendra Scott. All I see is Kendra Scott ads on Facebook. Even though I didn't go through Facebook to get to Kendra Scott, Facebook somehow knows that I was on Kendra Scott. But beyond that, I think what annoys me with the advertising is that sometimes when you get on Facebook, you just want to see pictures of your friend's kids or your nephew. I get on and I want to see a picture of my nephew, and I have to search for my sister-in-law because I would have to scroll for 2 days past all the advertisements to see my nephew. So anyway, the advertising thing is pretty annoying. Another big point I have, and I will at some point release this as an article on my website. Issue number three, much of the information that you see on Facebook is not even accurate. So it polarizes us and it's not even accurate. Anyone with money has access to your attention on Facebook. So it doesn't matter if the meme they're putting out or the graphic, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's accurate. That's not what Facebook's worried about. They're trying to put it in front of you that and hope that you will like it and that you will stay on the feed. So we with ADHD, we can't filter information very well as it is. It's very hard for us to determine what we should pay attention to. We try to pay attention to too many things. So you go on Facebook, it's bright, shiny blue. There's a feed down the middle, and on either side, there's that sort of bar of, you might be interested in this, look at this, look at this group. And what's worse is ADHDers will go on Facebook, and they will be looking for information about ADHD. And oh my God, this just, no. If you want information on ADHD, don't look for it on Facebook. Please, 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 I beg you, do not look for information on Facebook. You could spend 5 minutes in one of those huge ADHD support groups, I say in quotes, and you will find half a dozen examples of inaccurate and incomplete information. I have a Facebook group, and I'm telling you, it is very hard to find real information on Facebook. And according to McNamee, who I talked about with the Time magazine article, on Facebook, information and disinformation look the same. The only difference is that disinformation generates more revenue, so it gets better treatment in the algorithm. Now, along these same lines, Facebook prioritizes Facebook Live videos. And as we know, anybody can make a Facebook Live video. It doesn't matter if they have information to give, and it doesn't matter if the information is even accurate. Anybody can make a video, and it's prioritized in the feed. What does that tell us?
They're just going live on Facebook because Facebook prioritizes that. Think about that. Think about the videos we watch on Facebook.
People don't go live on Facebook to help you. People go live because they know it's the best way to get your attention. Just because someone has your attention doesn't mean they have your best interest in mind. I could talk about why the Facebook algorithm irritates me all day, but let's move on to another problem I have with Facebook.
Oh, goodness. All right, let me talk privacy for a minute. I don't even really need to explain this, but we all know that our personal information is out there. Most of us are okay with it and continue to use Facebook. I continue to use Facebook even though I know in the back of my head that everything I'm doing is being monitored. And then when I leave Facebook and I go over and I go to the grocery store website to make my list, I know that it's all being monitored. Like, I know.
All I'm going to say is we can't even delude ourselves about that security stuff anymore. So let's move on.
All right, the last thing I want to talk about here is Facebook addiction. I didn't actually believe in this. I had to go and look because I was like, no. I mean, yeah, I get it, but no, you can't really get addicted. But I had a couple clients tell me that I had one person tell me she thinks part of the reason she lost her job was because of the Facebook stuff. She couldn't get off Facebook. She was on her phone all day, even when she was supposed to be doing work. And I've had more than one person mention sort of that stuff to me. So there is some research into whether Facebook is actually addictive. There is some other research going on about internet addiction in general. But the problem with addiction is that it produces some behaviors that we don't like. And we with ADHD, we already don't like all of our behaviors, right? We're always trying to fix something about ourselves or moderate our own behavior. So this is the deal. Here are some negative behaviors that I have noticed in myself and others associated with Facebook. First, it's really easy to get on and get a hit. Like it takes no mental energy. You just, I'm bored. I need some stimulation. Let me click on Facebook. It takes no energy. So it's a quick hit of dopamine. Number two, Facebook satisfies all of our voyeuristic tendencies. We like to see what other people are doing. We do. That's human. Number three, ego inflation. The reason this is on here is because people only post good pictures, right? Not very often do people post a really bad picture of themselves or their offspring. And people really, really get a lot of ego inflation based on the likes. Like, I know people that I'm pretty sure are posting pictures of their kids to get the likes. Like, they need that gratification. Like, yes, your baby is beautiful.
While I'm on the subject of likes, I just got an email this weekend from a guy named Paul Jarvis. Don't bother looking him up. He is not on social media, but he just sent an email out talking about why the like button on Facebook is so bad. He said the like button specifically creates intermittent reinforcement to heighten our desire for social approval. This has been studied by numerous behavioral psychologists as a way to shortcut our dopamine system. So we're getting these random hits of dopamine from being on Facebook. And the average person spends 4 hours a day checking on average every 12 minutes to get these hits. And we with ADHD, we crave the hit even more than most. So the like, oh man, does that mean a lot to us, which is why we go so crazy in these big Facebook groups and why we can't get off of Facebook.
In order to talk about Facebook addiction, I wanted to find out what addiction really means.
So the American Society of Addiction Medicine actually defines addiction by the inability to abstain, impairment of behavioral control, craving or hunger for something, diminished recognition of problems, and a dysfunctional emotional response when you can't have it. So, if you look at addiction in that way, I would say a lot of us are probably suffering with internet addiction. You know, we check our phone first thing in the morning. We check Facebook first thing in the morning. If we have to abstain for like 12 hours or we're busy all day, we do have sort of a strong craving for this, do we not? And then when we're separated from our phone, we freak out.
That's definitely a dysfunctional response. It feels like it's going to kill us to not be able to see our phone or to not log into Facebook, but it's not. It's just we're so used to it. We're so used to the constant hit of the dopamine. And the problem isn't that we love the scrolling. It's that when we can't, it's the freaking out when we can't do it that's really the issue. I found an article in Attitude Magazine, and it featured Ned Halliwell, who everybody knows, and John Reedy. And they were talking about how people, this is a quote, people with attention deficit live on the stress of constant fixes of information. We physically crave bursts of stimulation from checking email, voicemail, or answering the phone. So it makes sense when that Facebook Messenger thing goes bing on your phone that you just, oh, like the pool to look at it. It's just, it is an addiction. I think it is. I think it is in my life, and I'll admit it. Many of us with ADHD struggle with other comorbid conditions, including anxiety and depression. If you start to numb out on Facebook, and I have a lot of clients who do this, who when you don't know what to do, or you don't know what the first step is, or you can't get yourself started, or you're just feeling like you bored, like you need stimulation, you get on Facebook. And the problem with that is that the problem grows, right? Because we're not addressing it. And when you struggle with social anxiety, which many of us do, these online relationships feel less risky than face-to-face interactions with humans. And it's tempting to sort of only engage online, like to have all of your friends in life online instead of in real life. And I get that because I have a lot of social anxiety, but I also know that I need to connect with other humans. And some of us have a lot of self-doubt and negative feelings, and the online world can give us a sort of social support and identification that makes us feel less neurotic. We're human. We are seeking acceptance. We are seeking a sense of belonging. And unfortunately, Facebook has taken the place of real human interaction for some of us. Now, I don't want to make this too much longer, but Facebook is just, I don't want to tell people to get off of it. I just want to raise awareness that if you already have issues with self-regulation, with executive function, I don't know that Facebook is a good use of your time. Every time, and I've told group members this, every time you get on Facebook, you are actually, like, whatever time you spend there, I'm sure you think it's going to be 5 minutes, but it's usually more like an hour. You get on and you type in, I have all this laundry to do. I can't get it done. I don't know where to start cleaning my house. I don't know where to start meal planning, blah, blah, blah. In the time it took you to type that post and then wait for the gratification of responses, bam, bam, there's a response. There's a response. I can respond to the response. In that time, you could have taken at least one step toward doing the thing that's so hard. And it's not the fault of Facebook. It's just human nature, and it's what the algorithm does to our brain. But I want you to really, really consider the time you spend and the information you put out on Facebook. I don't know everything, but I know this to be true. Your life doesn't change until you do. And you aren't going to change your life in a Facebook group, in a big public Facebook group. That's not how you change your life. You change your life by taking action. You actually change your life when you start to educate yourself about ADHD, when you start to find good, positive social support, and you stop rolling around in the mud on Facebook or other social media. Social media is fun, but it is a distraction to whatever your higher purpose is in life. In coaching circles, we talk a lot about growth mindset and strength-based learning. And none of that is going to happen on Facebook and social media. So I encourage you to find real information, real support off of social media, and watch what happens in your life. Watch how different you feel about yourself and how in control you feel. Okay, whew. I could talk about Facebook all day. As I said at the beginning, I do use Facebook. I'm not telling you to get off of Facebook. I'm just trying to raise awareness of what Facebook does to the ADHD brain and why we need to be on top of this whole situation. Anyway, I am building an online membership community, and it's not on Facebook. It's not a secret group on Facebook. It's called the ADHD Enclave. It is for women. We talk about life. I post original content that does not go on the podcast or on my website. We have conversations and 4 weekly meetings where we talk about our life, and we offer real support and encouragement to each other. And guess what? Nobody is monitoring us, and there's no advertising. It's just us together, a real community. For questions and comments about this episode, or for more information about my Enclave private community, email me at healthyadhd@gmail.com. On my website, I currently have a list of experts. So if you're looking for, you know, real information, medically accurate information about ADHD, go to my website, A Dose of Healthy Distraction, download my expert list. And as I always say, we are stronger together.